right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football pre-season preview shows. This time we're talking all things sporting, and we've got our boy Sam Fonseca from All Things Alvalade to join us. Sam, thank you so much for joining us, mate. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm sure all in the UK in this heat wave, absolutely melting. always a pleasure to be on with you guys and talk about something that is very close to my heart, which is, of course, sporting. So, yeah, look forward to it.
Absolutely. No, we really appreciate you coming on, and we're going to talk about what we can expect from sporting as we head into the new season. Of course, before we start, we should just mention that Sam is from, if you don't know already, All Things Alvalade, a podcast dedicated to Sporting CP. It goes out live on YouTube, and it also is available to listen about afterwards. I don't know if you want to shout out yourself, Sam. You could probably do a better job than I can.
Yeah, just on all social media platforms at ATA Alvalade, and then All Things Alvalade on every podcast platform. YouTube channel, some content on there that we experimented with, so make sure you subscribe as well. But yeah, you pretty much got it spot on, to be fair.
And it's a great show. I mean, it's not just for sporting fans. I watch it, and you know, you guys chat about all sorts of stuff that's going on in the league and just in football in general. So it's well worth a watch, even if you're
and sometimes some other sports as well. So just completely random topics.
Exactly. So plenty to talk about. Well, I'm going to start. We're doing a few of these with different fans of different teams, and I'm starting with the same question each time. So let's start there, and just want to ask Sam, what is the mood at the moment amongst Sporting CP fans as we go into the new season?
I think there's definitely some optimism, but on the opposite side, we've lost a lot of key figures. Coates, of course, being the captain for so many years and being sort of leader of the defence. Of course, my favourite guy of all time, Paulinho as well, especially last season. That's taken 15 goals out from the team. And as of recording, as of yet, we've not got a backup striker for this. Who knows what's going to happen with the next few days and next few weeks of the transfer windows.
Can I jump in there, mate? Because I know you're such a big Paulinho fan, but who would you rather lose, Gyökeres or Paulinho?
Oh, of course I'd rather lose Paulinho 100%. but at the end of the day, if we sold Gyökeres, it'd be for 100 million. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it's true.
At least we'd have something to replace with Paulinho. I think we only got maybe like 7-8 million. So in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really help out. But, you know, I've always been Paulinho's biggest fan, and sometimes, you know, he's not been great. But last season, 15 goals, and his link-up play last year, phenomenal as well. And, you know, maybe it was all he needed was some competition, because he didn't really have it when he first was here. But I digress anyway. But yeah, losing even like locker room guys like Luis Neto is a big loss as well. Dan as well, as much as he has sort of digressed over the last couple of years, he's still a big locker room leader. If you look at it now, our oldest player is Ricardo Esgar, I think at the age of maybe 30, 31. So there's no real experience in terms of, you know, people who have done it. Or, of course, Pedro Gonçalves, two-time League of Portugal winner. You've got a few others in there as well, Inacio. Mm-hmm. But they're still 25, 26, Inacio even younger. So I think there's definitely optimism, but I'm more interested to see how the back three will do without someone like Coates's presence in there. Of course, being so young as well, Diamande still under the age of 23, Inacio, new guys, the Bast is still under that age. So a very young squad. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then, but I think it's probably, sporting fans are quite, you know, what's the word? They're not always too positive. And I think that sometimes works in our favour when we're not expecting much and things happen anyway. But I genuinely give it 50-50. Definitely some excitement, but also some question marks going into the season.
Sam, could I ask you a bit more about that? Because I think that's one of the, for me, that's probably the most interesting aspect of the Sporting's transition this season. Obviously, such a good year last year. And that's with a sort of a slight change in previous years with the signings of Hulman and Gyökeres, sort of looking at different leagues and different player profiles. But as you've mentioned, it's the leadership figures that you've lost, the experience, which a couple of seasons ago was, and I'm just thinking of Coates in particular there, how vital he was, and that sort of mentality and that leader in a team, and when you won the league the time before. But I personally, it all excites me because he seems to be sacrificing that sort of that side of it, but then going for players who could actually be so much more exciting. I don't know if that's harsh on Coates' part, but like, do you see what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
That seems to be the toss-up, doesn't it? The decision Amrin seems to be making. And I don't know, I'm quite excited for that.
Yeah, I think the direction is clear in that we're going for youth and then flipping for money. As much as I would love supporting to never sell a player, at the end of the day, every single club in Portugal is a selling club. Maybe that will change in 10, 20 years, but as of now, it's going to be the same. So I think that is going to be the new mold. The Bast is been bought in for, I think, 15 million euros and is a young player, already a Belgium national at the age of 20. So the signings are there. But even guys like, Kovacic from Rakow, the goalkeeper, sort of an unknown player, no disrespect to Rakow and the Polish league, but bringing someone of that sort of experience instead of bringing from like a top league as well. I think Amorim does love a project player, and I think that will be Kovacic, sort of how Franco Israel has been. But I do think one of the most important aspects of football, you've talked about tactics, you talk about transfers and stuff, is leadership. And I think you see it with Porto last year, even though they weren't great. Pepe was there, and he's always been the leader. Benfica, you've got Otamendi, of course, who's a World Cup winner, and he's won it all in the game. You can look at other clubs from around the world as well. They all have that sort of resident older guy who's been through it all. And there's some guys on the market. I'm sure we'll talk about transfers later. But you've got guys like Miguel Veloso, who's was at Sporting for so long, and 30 years of age, coming to the end of his career. Nani, of course, is a big one. Can these guys be brought in? I'm not expecting them to play well or even play at all, but having those guys as leaders in the dressing room, I think, would be good. But yeah, it's definitely the plan is buy young and then sell high. And as of now, we've seen it work with you guys at Ugarte, and I'm sure guys even to smaller extents, promoting players from youth academy. Thiago Tomás was done in that way as well. Renato Vega as well in a few now at Chelsea. So yeah, the plan is clear. And it seems to be working, so I think it's a case of don't fix what isn't broken. But of course, I also think the writing was on the wall for Coates as well. He's always had problems with his knee, and he did miss quite a lot of game time last season. Paulinho coming towards the end of his sort of career, being 31, 32, getting a big payday in Mexico and obviously a fantastic country as well. And Luis Neto, of course, wasn't playing that much. And Adan, his ability was so low at the end of the last two seasons. It made sense for it to be now. The only thing that is the question mark is it going to hurt the team off the back of a title winning season? And what is the question is going to be, how will the players cope? Will someone step up to be a leader? Will it be, Ignacio at 21 years of age? Or will it be Pedro Gonzalez? Of course, Heumann's the captain, but doesn't have to be one designated leader. You could be a captain, but you can have a squad full of captains. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you make an interesting point. And obviously, to talk about incomings, it's only been two, really, at this point. You mentioned both, Zeno De Bast and Kovacevic, the goalkeeper. A very good point about them not perhaps being household names, but I suppose one thing you can think is that this time last season, I don't think many of us had heard of Morten Heumann, and those type of players. And then very quickly, they make themselves key parts of the team. So in that sense, I think there could be some optimism that, as long as the scouting, which I think it's fair to say, although not 100% on point, has been a very good success rate in terms of the big money. And even, I mean, I remember we were having conversations this time last season about whether Victor Gyökeres was a risk. And then, we look at that turned out. I suppose in terms of the transfer window, while we stay on that topic, one story is not just who's come in and who's left, but actually who's remained. And I think Victor Gyökeres is obviously a big part of that. I think if you'd pushed us at the end of last season to bet on whether we thought Victor Gyökeres would be starting the first game of the Premier League season for Sporting, I think a lot of people would have said no off the back of the season that he's had. But as things stand, he's still there. And I don't particularly think there are many strong rumours that he'll be leaving anytime soon. I wonder how likely it is that you think he will stay beyond the end of the transfer window. And then it's a very simple question, but how much of a boost is that to Sporting that he could potentially be doing what he did last season again?
I mean, yeah, knock on wood, he's gonna stay. But I think, like I said, Sporting fans aren't optimistic, and I'm one of them. There is still a lot of room in the transfer window to go. There's gonna be, we always see at the start of like Premier League seasons where maybe a club doesn't perform as well as they should do, and they're like, oh, we need to sign someone quickly, and then that's when Gyökeres leaves, or that's when we had it a few years ago in Mateus Nunes leaving with Wolves, and even a bit before that with like Bruno Fernandes in January and things. Obviously, looking that far into the future is going to be difficult. But I think what helped us weirdly was Gyökeres being injured at the end of last season, because he had to take some time off. And I don't think he got any surgery or anything, but he just had to take some time off and recover. And of course, Sweden not qualifying for the Euros as well gives him some extra time to rest as well. So when you think about it, the rumor was that Gyökeres has been injured with his knee, I believe, since the start of November when he was in that Europa League game where he hurt his knee, had to come off, and he barely missed a single game, and he was still performing at that level with an injury. So having that time off, having time to rest, having a pre-season now, it all is almost going to be like a new player. But the boost to us of him staying, of course, is fantastic. And you mentioned him earlier as well, Hjulmand as well. He was, he's been linked to go some places. He had a very good Euros as well, scoring against England. So I thought maybe that would have boosted his ability. Even Inacio was linked away a few times. So, we have lost quite some key players, but we've also, kept the, no disrespect to the guys who left, the more important, the more impactful players with guys like Gyökeres and Hjulmand as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think moving slightly on from transfers, when you look at where the squad is now, obviously with the caveat that there is still quite a long way of the transfer window to go. How do you feel the squad is shaping up? Because on the face of it, you look at it and you think there is, I think, largely a lot of depth, particularly, I mean, well, there's a wealth of talent at central defence, despite Kovacic and Neto leaving. There's a lot of talent there. You still got that midfield partnership of Morita and Hjulmand, and then you've got the bonus of perhaps some youngsters like Matheus Fernandes coming back who could make an impact in that area. You've still got loads of talented players on the wings, Pedro Gonçalves, Nuno Santos, Marcus Edwards, Trincão, all still at the club, and Victor Gyökeres. Is there any area that you think, with the transfer window still open, you'd want to bring somebody in where you think perhaps there's areas of the squad which are a little bit light? I mean, the obvious one for me, I don't know whether you agree, is with Poliño leaving. Like you said, he did still contribute a lot of goals, even though Gyökeres was the main man. And there's a couple of youngsters who obviously we would love to see being given a chance, particularly Rodrigo Ribeiro. I mean, I would love to see him given a chance in the first team. I thought it was very strange situation with him at Nottingham Forest last season. I would love to see him playing in a Sporting shirt personally, but is there enough depth up front really? Are there enough players you can rely on? All that kind of stuff.
I agree. It needs to be, I think the main position is striker. Rodrigo Ribeiro, to his credit, has had a fantastic pre-season and he's been playing a lot. Ruben Amorim seems to trust him a bit more. I don't know if the work ethic is there, and that's maybe what Ruben Amorim is, reluctant to give him those opportunities. He made his debut, when you think about it, against Manchester City. I know the game was already gone, it was a fine or aggregate, but to show that sort of level of trust and to be in that situation was good originally, but that was nearly 2, 3 years ago now. And he, like you said, the loan to Nottingham Forest was a strange one, but the way I look at it is, some you don't really need game time. It's going to sound stupid, but you don't really need game time to evolve as a player. We saw it with Eduardo Quaresma at Hoffenheim the year before, where he played 4 games for Hoffenheim, but just being outside of your comfort zone, being outside of your native speaking language, and having to train in a whole new system, train in a whole new club, the manager doesn't know you, the players don't know you, it's going to be a shock to the system, and some players either thrive on it or they don't. And guys like Quaresma have come back and have been fantastic. And as we saw last season, sort of out of the blue, didn't expect him to get any minutes last season, and then was a revelation. But as much as I do love Rodrigo Ribeiro, and Rafael Nel has been great in pre-season as well, I still think there's need for a striker there, especially the amount of competitions we're going to be in next year. Champions League, of course, returning for the first time in 2 seasons, and TAS of the league. I know it's changed a bit now, but TAS to Portugal and the league in general, there's going to be a lot of games that we have to play, especially with the new format of the Champions League system as well. So I think definitely striker. The only other positions I'm sort of worried about, and you did mention centre back a bit, but Jerry Saint Just is such a big question mark for me.
Is
It's
he
just
already injured again, sir?
he got injured. Yeah, the last game of pre-season, he was
Oh.
almost there, and then got injured
I'm
at the end.
honestly not even trying to laugh. It is a really unfortunate
Oh,
situation
I
because he
know.
has put in some good performances when he's been fit, but it's a real problem, if we're being honest, that he's just having so many fitness issues.
I think this is his ninth injury since joining the club, and he's only been
It's
at the
crazy.
club for 2 years. So it's unlucky, and that's what I feel for St. Just, because it's not like the
Yeah.
same issue over and over again. It's like an ankle, it's a knee, it's a thigh, it's a muscle. It's just so many weird things. And to be fair, when he first joined, he had surgery on his shoulders, so that one couldn't really be helped. But I just think I love St. Just, and I said this on the recent video we did on YouTube. I think when fully fit, and I know that's a funny sentence to say with St. Just, he is the best centre back in the league. And I think if he
Yeah.
would continue to stay fully fit, he might have been one of the best in the world. When you think about the pace, you think about on the ball, you think about in the air, defending. Even, I saw him play a few times down the wing at right wing back last season, only for a few games. He would be fantastic. And I know Liverpool were sniffing around him after arguably his best performance in a sporting shirt, which was against Arsenal in the Europa League, where he made that viral clip, that tackle on
Yeah.
Martinelli. That is just what Saint Just is. He's fast, he's good on the ball. He scores goals. He scored against Porto, of course, in the Portugal final. I know it didn't turn out too well for him, but I think as great as a player as he is, and I do love him, I think he's fantastic. We can't just hope and pray on fitness and that he'll turn it around. He's 27. He's not at the end of his career yet. When you think about all these injuries, is anyone gonna take a punt on Saint Just? Can we even get any money back on him? Can we loan him? I just think maybe getting another centre back might just as for cover might be a good thing, but at the same time you've got guys like you've mentioned Quaresma, who had a fantastic season last year. Jean Meunier is coming from the youth academy. Is that someone that Ruben Amorim puts in that situation as well? But I would like to see maybe even if it's like a loan deal for someone to bring in as a centre back. And again, I think a more experienced centre back, because when you look at the ages, Inacio 22, the Bas 20. Quaresma 22, Jean Meunier's 19, Diamande 20. Like, we do need someone with a bit of experience, I feel, and maybe bringing someone in like that, like Porto had with a Pepe or Benfica with an Otamendi, someone like that who can come in and fill the gap of that leadership role would come in handy. The only other position I'm sort of on the fence about is both the fullback situation. I've never been that big of a fan of Ricardo Esgaio and 31, most senior member of the squad. Jenny was fantastic last year. I don't know if Fresneda, what the situation is. Fresneda is going to be, is he going to be the starter? Is it going to be Esgaio? Is it going to be Jenny? Or is it going to rotate depending on the opposition? And also left back as well. Matheus Reis is, I thought, played well last season, but Nuno Santos got injured in the preseason again, the same game as Saint Just. I don't think there's been any official confirmation on how long he's going to be out for, but it's just that one injury to a left back and one injury to a right back. I just think, it leaves us only with one. Maybe with right back, you've got Esgaio, Fresneda, Jenny, but look at the left side, Matheus Reis, Nuno Santos. That's pretty much it. If one of them goes down, one of them gets suspended, no, it's just one of them. And that's what worries me. But yeah, I would say definitely striker is the main one. And those two, I'd say, will be like luxury positions. If we have the money, then go. But yeah, striker definitely number one priority.
Sammy, you mentioned some of the positions that some of those players have been playing in pre-season, and have there been any other youth players coming in who've given opportunity that you think might make it into the squad? I know that, is it Quenda, the 17-year-old? Is that how you say it, Quenda? Like, it came in and had a decent performance. But also, like, in terms of, like, you're talking about the sort of flexibility within the squad and players are playing, particularly those wing back positions, as you mentioned. Obviously, we saw Jenny come in there last season as sort of necessity, but that sort of paid off. Do you think there's any other players who might come in and fill those gaps, like from the youth team, potentially get an opportunity, or anywhere else on the pitch?
You mentioned Giovanni Kenda, and I think that's how you say it anyway, but he's come in 17 years of age, and he's been very good in preseason. That last game he had was against Atletico Bilbao was fantastic. He was just just so good. And for someone who's that age to be that confident on the ball and like doing skills and making runs, I think the future is only going to be as bright for him as he puts the work in. And I think that's Amorim's sort of a mentality with that. I know we've been linked to Chiquinho or Wolves, but personally, I would like to. I think giving guys like Kenda a chance, and Afonso Moreira is there as well. Marcus Edwards didn't really get a lot of game time last season. I don't know if that was an injury thing or a selection thing, but Trincão was very good last season as well. So I think maybe giving Afonso Moreira or Giovanni a go in those wings as well would be an option. One other sort of not youngster but returning player, you mentioned him earlier, Matheus Fernandes. I thought he was fantastic at Estoril last season, and
Very good
coming
player.
into Yeah, of course. And coming into a midfield, Bragança played very well last season. Morita had a bit of an off season. Of course, we mentioned Kjellman as well. That rotation for that midfield, I think having an extra body like Matheus Fernandes would be crucial, especially with the long stretch of the season. And I think that's what Amorim tried to do by bringing in Koba last year, but it just didn't really turn out in our favour. Especially, it was weird because obviously Matheus Fernandes was at Estoril, and then we brought in sort of Matheus Fernandes back up to it didn't really make a lot of sense. But yeah, I think definitely the if you would if I would say one to watch out for, I think it's definitely Mateus Fernandez. He looked solid at Estoril last season, and I think he could be one to come in and disrupt the rotation between Morita and Bragança.
Very interesting, and I think that's a very very comprehensive overview of where the squad is at. Obviously, a big part of any team success is not just the players, but of course the manager. In a very similar way to Victor Gyökeres, I think there were quite a few people who thought that Amorim might have managed his last game at Sporting at the end of the season. There was all sorts of how can I put it, shenanigans at the end of last season to do with whether Ruben Amorim will be staying. But it does look like he will be staying. Perhaps it's a tough question because obviously he has achieved so much already. I'm just interested to get your thoughts. What you think Amorim will give Sporting in the next season? Do you think there's any further he can take the team? Do you think there's more he can get out of the players? Do you expect any tactical innovations? Or, I mean, surely we expect him to just put together another fantastic squad as he has done multiple times as manager of Sporting. But perhaps there is something slightly different about the season, given the fact that at this point, you know, he never seems too far away from the exit door.
Yeah, I mean, shenanigans is a very good way to put it. He was on the plane ready to go to West Ham. I don't know what happened in the negotiations, but I'm very glad they failed. But what's also interesting is I feel like every Sporting fan has been like every season been like, oh yeah, this is going to be Amorim's last season, because especially this summer you had like the Liverpool job open, you had like Barcelona job open, Bayern Munich. There were so many jobs that were open. Chelsea, of course, and potentially Man United, but he stayed put. I don't know if that's because a lot of clubs are scared to change their system, or maybe they just haven't been convinced by Ruben Amorim, but I don't think it'd be that. But you never know how our football clubs think. But the way I look at it, there's not much else Ruben Amorim can do that he's not really done. He is missing, I know it's a little asterisk, he's missing the Taça de Portugal, so
It's
maybe
true. It's true.
that is what he could go for. Very unlucky in the game against Porto, of course, meant Saint Just getting sent off as well in that game. But there was a there is some optimism, like we said, this season. Hopefully we can go back to back. But the only other thing I would really want from Ruben Amorim is a good run in the Champions League. I know it might be further away now with the new format, but I think we did get very unlucky in his first season against Man City. If you wanted any team in that round of 16, Man City would be like, yeah, I don't want them. Like, any team would be fine. But we were so close as well getting Juventus, and then the draw was messed up, and then we had to go again. It was just a whole bunch of nonsense. But I would like to see a bit of a run in the Champions League. Obviously, I'm not expecting miracles. I would take a round of 16, maybe a quarter finals at a push. But if he could do better than what he's done last time, I think that's always been his mentality: one game at a time, trying to go one game at a time, trying to do better than last time. That's it. I think his legacy is already cemented in Sporting. Two league titles when we hadn't had one in 19, 20 years, and making not just on the results side of things, but the financial side. Some of the players he's bought in and sold for huge money, and you can all point it back to Ruben Amorim. The renovations on the stadium only happened because Ruben Amorim selling so many players and getting so many wins, and the kit deals and everything like that is all because of the way Sporting has transformed as a club under Ruben Amorim. So, don't get me wrong, I hope he stays full time and forever. But for me, I'm always thinking, this is going to be his last season, especially if he goes back to back in the league, which with some other club strengthening might be difficult. But it's just, you see so many managers get jobs, and you think, for example, Vincent Kompany at no disrespect to Bayern, you're just like, how? Like, considering there's so many managers like Ruben Amorim, and even to his credit, Sergio Conceição has been out of a job for a while now. I think him and Ruben Amorim were definitely the top two managers in Portugal, and they have been for a while. I don't know if it's maybe a reluctancy to hire managers from our league or from Portugal, but I don't know. But yeah, there's not much he can take us, and there's not much he's going to do to sort of hurt his legacy. You could argue maybe the way he, I don't know if saying try to leave last season was a good wrong or right. I can't be the judge of that. But him himself said that he's got rid of players for less, he's disciplined players for less. So I think he knew it was a mistake. He is still 39, which for a manager is incredibly young. So Ronaldo is the same age, still playing football, when you think about it that way.
It's crazy.
But yeah, obviously I hope that he stays as long as he can, but there's not much else he can do. So yeah, I think he's just going to see I think it's just seeing what happens, you know, if a big job opens up. You know, I've always thought Amorim to Man United would be the one that's sort of pushed in to go. Obviously, the Portuguese connection to Man United in the past as well. But they've always wanted a project manager. I thought this year would be it. If they got rid of Ten Hag and they'd bring in Amorim. Even Chelsea as well, they seem to be pointing like the younger managers and stuff. But it hasn't happened yet. So either he's searching for the perfect job for him, or maybe he's not that highly coveted in the leagues. I don't know. But yeah, I hope he stays as long as he can.
Absolutely. No, I think it, of course, it's a huge positive that he's still at the club. At least, you know, you don't have to go through the headache of finding a new manager after years of building a squad in Amorim's shape. So, and he's a fantastic, fantastic manager. So yeah, real big positive that he's still there. All right, before we let you go, Sam, we're going to just ask you for your, we're calling them expectations. So these are not predictions. You haven't got to give us exact league positions, blah, blah, blah. But first of all, just how are you feeling? What are your expectations of where Sporting are going to finish next season?
Almost feels wrong with me to say this, but the way the squad has performed, maybe if you forget the season before last, but since Ruben Amorim's come in, his expectations have been to win and to win silverware. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a detriment to this the squad and the club if I said, oh, I'm not expecting to win the league, or I'm not expecting to win a trophy, because I think that is the mentality that Ruben Amorim has. And I think anything less is a detriment to Amorim and the club. So I think, you know, the expectation of the fans, of the players and of the manager should be to win at all costs, to go back to back in the league, something that we've not done in a while. We, like I said, we only won two leagues in 19 years or something like that, whatever the stat is, compared to, you know, Porto and Benfica winning regularly. And I think, you know, there's the meme of sort of Erik ten Hag saying, you know, legacies have to come to an end and, you know, new eras happen. And I think that is, you know, hopefully what we're witnessing is Sporting's new era to become, as much as I love Sporting, we call it the big three. Over the last 20 years, it has been between the big two. And there's no, I don't think that's wrong to say. And I don't think that's also, you know, it decreases my loyalty as a fan or anything, but it's true, you know, the way the other clubs have been performing, not just in the league, but the Champions League, Benfica and Europa League and stuff. Porto winning the Europa League in, I think, 2011, 2012, one of those years. And I look at the way they've dominated the league before and the way Ruben Amorim holds these players in high regard. I think, you know, the expectation has to be to win. And I think the league should be the number one priority. Like I said, I'd like to see us make a decent little run in the Champions League. But with the new format, I feel we're going to see a lot of, I think we're definitely going to see a lot of upsets with more games happening in the Champions League, and there's going to be a little bit of confusion and things like that. But the way that this has been set up, I think the objective has to be to try and go back to back. So that is my expectation for the season.
No, I think I completely agree. I think it's completely fair given what you achieved last season. I mean, just in case there's anybody listening to us for the first time this season who aren't exactly aware, I mean, we were talking about Sporting's title win last season, all sorts of records broken in terms of like goals scored, games won, all that type of stuff. It was real domination. I don't know what you think, Barney. The only caveat I have in my mind really is thinking back to how you guys followed up your previous title win, which was an equally good season, almost exactly in terms of points and games won and all that kind of stuff. But not winning the title purely because there was another team pushing you all the way in Benfica, and whether that could happen again, obviously, we'll talk about other teams a different time. So that's the only thing I can think which would put Sporting out of the title race for me. I think this team, this manager with the star players that they got, I think the expectation only has to be at the top end of the table and the title. And I think, you know, very, very strong contenders.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'll add to all of that, because I generally agree, is, and sort of going back to what Sam was saying at the beginning, talking about those personalities leaving the clubs and the leaders, is that and Sam will know better than me, and he can please correct me if you think I'm wrong, Sam, but I always feel like Sporting have looked, they just seem to be better when they're leading. And when you know, these title winning seasons, they've had that gap and they've been able to maintain it. Linking it to what you're saying about the sort of the mentality of the squad now, the sort of the younger makeup of the team, if Benfica improve, if Porto come back and suddenly, you know, Sporting find themselves trying to chase the leaders, I just wonder if that might be their downfall, you know, if they're not able to sort of come over that and then and sort of try and really push through. I don't know. Maybe I've sort of looking too
No,
much into something, a small thing, but.
I agree. I think the way I look at it, the only people that can stop Sporting with the league is Sporting. We've seen it. One of my least favorite seasons was 2015, 2016, because we played so well and we lost the title to Benfica by 2 points. But it wasn't because we lost to teams like Benfica or Porto. It was dropping points to like Nacional de Madeira and teams like that. And it nearly happened last year, losing to Vitória Guimarães. You know, the game was a complete mess, and you know there were some other hiccups in there that we had as well. But I think you're right. The mentality of the squad needs to improve without those players there, and it does worry me because I've seen, you know, Inacio in big games recently getting sent off against Benfica, and Saint Juste, for example, in a big game against Porto, getting sent off as well. And there does seem to be, when Sporting do have a big opportunity in a big game, the mentality of the squad isn't there, and that was with players like Coates and Dan Paulinho. So now not having those players there is concerning. Like I mentioned, the age of the defense, especially being like sub 23, most of them. So I think it's definitely something to look out for. But at the same time, I think if there's a way that sort of mentality has to be installed, I think Ruben Amorim is the best person to do that. And he's shown confidence in guys like Eduardo Quaresma, who, you know, people are questioning, you know, is he done at the top level? Is he gonna, you know, phase out? Have we seen a few other centre backs, like, for example, no disrespect to Ferro, and he was supposed to be the next big thing, and he didn't really amount to anything. Even guys like Franco Israel coming in last season, I thought was very good for considering that was his first full professional season. He does lean on those younger players and tries to instill a mentality in them, is that as long as you train hard, as long as you play well, and you know, give your entire effort, then you will be rewarded. And I think that's something that Ruben Amorim has stuck to, and that has been his philosophy for a while. So I think it just depends on if the players are up to the task.
And perhaps you've done it haven't been fair enough to Gyökeres and Heumann, who have both come in and look like winners. You know what I mean? They've got that in them as well. So I think that's obviously why Heumann got the armband as well. So yeah, there are people in there. I think, but yeah, I think we can all agree that if there is going to be a slip up, it might be in that area.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, completely correct. Heumann last year was a captain without being the captain, without having the armband. I think we all saw it. And someone to come in from a whole different country, a whole new club, to be not only, as much as I think João Neves is a fantastic player, but I think Heumann was the best midfielder in the league last season, coming sort of from an unknown, no disrespect to Serie A, of course, and coming into Sporting and playing how he did, being the leader that he was. You know, we talk about lack of leadership, but he definitely has it. And, you know, to his credit, Pedro Gonzalez, I feel like, has that as well. They're all quite fiery on the pitch. And one thing that I've always, I don't know if respected's the right word, but I've always admired, I guess, about Porto is their sort of, you know, their, what was it, raça to win games, their sort of masters of the dark arts. And I think in football, that is a very good thing. Obviously, you hate to play against it, and when you're playing against it, it's a bad thing. But having players that have that mentality to win at all costs, I think guys like Nuno Santos, Pedro Gonzalez, even Gyökeres to an extent, has that. So I think if we could have that a bit more, then I think it would be good. But yeah, I think it's definitely a question mark. But Heumann being a captain, I think, is a good start, definitely.
Yeah, look, and I think to end this on a positive as well, we're looking at a team full of quality players, the star players in there. There's quality in depth. There's some really, really exciting young players. And it's a team of proven winners as well, with a manager who's been one of the most impressive managers in Portugal over the last few years. So I think a lot to be positive and a lot to be optimistic about for Sporting ahead of the new season. Sam, thank you so much for joining us, mate, for your time and your expertise. We really appreciate you coming on and giving us your perspective on Sporting. Once again, a reminder that you can follow Sam and his podcast, All Things Out of Allard. We'll put all the links in the description. It will be on social media. But thank you so much for joining us, mate. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. And hopefully, at the end of the season, we're back on this. Go, damn, he was right the whole time. Here's hoping.
Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening, guys, and we'll see you on another podcast very soon.